Blog Talk Radio.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
United Kingdom. What's up, the U.S. of A? What's up, Canada? What's up, Australia? What's up, everybody that listens to this show? Like Car True. What's up? Right, ladies and germs. Gentlemen, whatever you want to call yourselves. Hi, jeez. Hell in a Cell, as I flip through the pages. Oh, boy. This is going to be one hell of a fun time finding it. Aha! 16th, 2018, live in San Antonio, the AT&T Center. Let's see, shall we start off the kickoff show of the New Day defending against Rusev Day, which, okay, so Rusev Day did not win because of a few miscues. Really didn't care. Yes, New Day is awesome. New Day sucks. Whatever you want to call it, New Day rocks. I don't give a fuck. So, last year at Hell in a Cell, the notes are the New Day versus the Usos was probably the best match. Shane McMahon versus Kevin Owens was from Detroit. Was where the last Hell in a Cell was. Randy Orton appeared for the 143rd time at a pay-per-view, which is fifth all-time on the list of WWE. Yes, the panel. The panel kickoff was Booker T, Paige, David Otunga. It was great. Alexa completely disrespected David Otunga. It was great. Yes. The very first match out the gate at Hell in a Cell, folks, Randy Orton versus Jeff Hardy. Yeah, it's surprising that SmackDown Live starts off the pay-per-view. Jeff Hardy, love him to death. Great spirit, wonderful spirit in the world of wrestling. Randy Orton, however, was victorious. The referee insisted that they don't go through with the match. Jeff is crazy. He's swinging, literally swinging back and forth. Randy Orton's body, Jeff Hardy's body took a fucking toll. I mean, the match was still going when I tuned into it. I was at work. Let's see here. Yes. Promo for October the 6th, Melbourne, Australia with The Undertaker and Triple H. Then AJ Styles is interviewed about Samoa Joe and the World Heavyweight Championship for SmackDown Live. And then, one of the best matches of the night, in my humble opinion, Becky Lynch versus Charlotte. Now, some may have an opinion on Charlotte, some may have an opinion on Becky. Truth be told, folks, I, at this point, when I turn on a women's match, it's actually better than what it was, you know, 6 years ago, or where it was, comparatively speaking, to 6 years ago. Becky Lynch ends up getting a victory, not the disarm her. Sorry, my bad for mispronouncing the move name. But you see Becky becomes champion, and I don't know for how long, but I'm so glad. I am so glad because, folks, you want to ask the reasons and the backings as to how and why it was the best match of the night. Form you. It was fun as all hell. Fun as all hell to watch that women's match. To also watch SmackDown Live side of things. Because here's the thing. When you tune in to watch Hell in a Cell, you're thinking to yourselves, gee, okay. Okay, why not indulge myself? Oh, never mind. Flipped over to the wrong page. Oops, daisies. Yes, next match challenge. Where's the next? The Hell in a Cell. All right, folks, as I switch gears here. And I gotta fast forward and just keep switching gears. Aha! Here we are. So, Rollins Ambrose versus Ziggler McIntyre. Now we're on to Monday Night Raw. That match was also one highlight for people to see a lot of falsies between both teams, namely Ziggler and Rollins, and also Ambrose and McIntyre. But McIntyre, no, it replaced the RKOs out of nowhere that Michael Cole likes to call pretty much most of the time when a move comes out of nowhere, out of thin air, out of your ass, it doesn't matter. So, here's what I gotta say about Rollins Ambrose versus McIntyre Ziggler. Good match, great pace, good things. You know, nothing but good things to say about that match. I don't really have much area to critique. The mixed match challenge was promo, and then you see Samoa Joe versus AJ Styles. This one had a controversial finish, folks. AJ tapped in the middle of said match. And for those of you who deny it, yeah, they meant to give a controversial finish because why? Maybe there's something that we all missed this pay-per-view that we didn't quite understand. I don't really care. Well, technically I do because I have to report this shit. So let's see here. Maryse and The Miz versus Bree and Daniel Bryan. Great showmanship between both teams. So, how does one judge, that talent? The Miz knows what he's doing by pulling the crowd. You know, Maryse, obviously, she hadn't been in action, but then she gets the victory off the distraction of The Miz. One little cue or misdirection. And you'll see what I'm talking about. All right. I slipped through the pages again, folks. I had to write this shit down after all the pay-per-view. It was 3.5 hours of my life that I will gladly want back. Some ways, and I will explain why. After that mishap, you had Alexa Bliss versus Rousey. Rousey finally put on a match. She finally extended the match because people were getting critical of her not being able to compete in an actual, wrestling ring environment. And she did. She won the match. Even though I was hoping that Alexa Bliss would have put Rousey in her place where she belongs, which is, somewhat, I believe that Rousey belongs in an animal shelter. That's just me because, she's the biggest draw. No, folks, dude. Rousey, comparatively speaking, to Tessa Blanchard and all the other skilled wrestlers in Ring of Honor. She wants to learn, then, that she didn't have to drop the title, but Jesus Christ. Again, I'll say it again. Alexa, Rousey did not. So therefore, Rousey, to me, is garbage in the world of pro wrestling. She extended the match. I'll give her credit where credit's due. But I still feel, from a personal standpoint, that Ronda Rousey, to this day, will just go into any, opportunity and seize the day and take advantage or whatever you guys would like to say. But here's my personal fucking opinion on her. She didn't go through enough training. She put in the work, yes. But people will differ in opinion when it comes to, can she really fall through as a champion? And I just want to tell you, just like the Chiefs, or just like these other poser teams, the Bears and everyone else meaning, I find her to be a liar. Her fucking whole facade is just a fucking lie. And is it because of favoritism towards Alexa Bliss? Well, let me just answer that question with, I don't fucking care. Because why bother caring when all Raw does is do the opposite of what the fans want? It was said on another podcast. And the fact that there was basically one title change, I don't give a fuck. Because why should I? Why should we? That's what some of you are saying to me. Why should we give a fuck? Why should we care about what, you know, just one match changes the complexion of my tone when I'm talking? And, oh, yes, the main event. This is the bread and butter of my discussion tonight. When you book a main event, cool, you know, Braun Strowman, Roman, and Lesnar now in the fray, the fuck. Because you know fans don't want it, and you still insist upon it anyways. You're killing off your fans in that regard. In some aspects, yeah, I, for the first time in a long time, wanted to tune into Monday Night Raw. For the simple reasoning, I wanted to see just how good or bad the show was going to be. How can I make this short and sweet, and it's not going to end my podcast? So tonight I just went down the list, basically listed out every single match that was affiliated with Monday Night Raw because I felt it was important. I mean, why not? The 17th of Monday Night Raw. It only fills up one page, folks, because I can simplify it for you. I don't have to go into detail about what each match entailed, blah, blah, blah. McIntyre versus Ambrose, it wasn't a bad match. You know, a Claremore kick out of nowhere, Claremore, however you say his finish, McIntyre's finish. But, folks, if the opening has to deal with a promo, it's because Hell in a Cell was as long as Titanic was, but a little bit longer. From 1997, that is, the 97 version of said Titanic. I can tell you, it was painful. It was painful to watch because he has so much talent on that roster. And it's not that they're not using them. It's the way they're presenting their talent, Raw's talent, to the crowd. And then I'll get into that later, but Ambrose versus McIntyre, not a bad match. Hey, on down the list, Dana Brooke versus Bayley. Bayley is going to win. She has a bunch of kids with her. You know, it was really cool that the kids from the Dallas Children's Hospital got to do their own entrance themes, do everything. That seems fun. Okay. So here's the thing, folks. Ember Moon and Nia Jax versus Mickie James and Alicia Fox. Very good match. It told the basic story. There's so much backstage interviews on a Monday Night Raw that it's very hard to keep up with. One with Seth Ziggler and Corbin. As I said, it's hard to stay awake during this bullshit. Bullshit is in the show that I tuned into once and have not tuned into Monday Night Raw for the longest time. And it's just so, how do I put this? It's so funny to me how people forget that Raw is 3 hours long. I forget sometimes that I don't know why you insist upon 3 hours of network television. Elias versus Bobby Lashley. They put Leo Rush, the most annoying little fuck, into the fray. And it's like you're stealing from Jay Lethal's gimmick at DNA. Which, I'm sorry, but called. He probably doesn't give a fuck. And he, you know, for reasons unbeknownst to all of you, and just like it's a slap in the face when a little you know, no one even knew who he was. But it was hilarious when Elias was like, "Can someone please get their child?" Blah 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 blah. Yeah, see, there's good points and bad points of Monday Night Raw. The Undertaker's promo seemed very intriguing at the last, not during like beginning point and point. You know, it was like where he was talking about delusion of grandeur, that Hunter had a delusion that Shawn Michaels is not going there just to watch, he's enlisted him. And that's very smart, but now, okay, the Undertaker's promo took on a whole new meaning. And by whole new meaning, Kane will be at ringside is not what I'm referring to. The level of, can these two old farts pull off a good match? Yes. And they're not old farts, man. I just now caught wind of your question. It makes me wonder, sir. Because, as far as I'm concerned, when you take a good look at tonight's Monday Night Raw, which just basically made me think, okay, what needs to be fixed and what needs to be kept? What needs to be fixed is the 3-hour program. It needs to be condensed to 2 hours. The main event was fine with all the chaos, you know, Baron Corbin going up against the Universal Champion Roman Reigns. No disqualification. Again, you're extending your show, great, no problem, main event, cool, whatever. Let me think. It's not so much the 50-50 booking. That's part of the problem. It's the fact that there's nothing captivating enough for the audience to be, like, enthralled enough to be like, oh, yeah, Ronda Rousey's part of your show now. No one cares because Raw still got the lowest rankings or ratings. According to, Gerwig.net and multiple sources of SportsKey, the Bleacher Report, Raw's at a 2.5, 2.6. And they go by viewership hours. So what do they need to fix? I'll give you a hint. If these guys are taking notes on Ring of Honor, and you're taking notes what was Jay Lethal's gimmick, the WWE Universe is not going to know that because they've never even heard of Lethal. They probably only pay attention to WWE, which is fine. No condemning the wrestling fans. Except for the fact that if you only watch WWE, you need to expand your horizons. That's just my personal take on it. Why? Because it gives you guys, I don't know, flavor, like a different flavor of ice cream. And it's like, ooh, this tastes really good, man. It's got the caramel, whatever. If you're allergic to caramel, I feel bad for you. But if you notice, Leo Rush took a little tidbit of Lethal. That's not, I mean, really... I'm pretty sure they're laughing and smiling, you know, watching at the hotel room. The guys from Ring of Honor don't care because they're busy focused on their own shit. But fans will notice, the true fans will notice, Lethal's gimmick and Leo Rush, really. He's got talent, he's a cruiserweight, and all of a sudden you make him a part of the show. Okay, now you got to afford the character to make him believable. He is believable. Leo Rush was one of the most phenomenal independent stars in wrestling until that no-sell off the ladder move the guy gave him and, you know, didn't sell. That's probably one of the most notable things. Before he came to WWE, and also the fact that Leo wrestled against women, he wrestled against men. He's a high flyer. I mean, don't really care for flippy shit, which is why I kind of avoid the cruiserweight division in a little bit. I like Lince Dorado. I like TJP. The fact that Roderick Strong was involved for a little bit for a hiccup, no problem. It's kind of a sad story about the cruiserweight division. I'll tell you a little bit about that later on. You know, how we can fix Monday Night Raw. How about less promos, maybe one or two, three at the most. Also, if you like to fix your show, quit trying to parlay from a worker's perspective, meaning, not parlay, project what will work from a worker's perspective, because if you do, you're going to lose the fans. And tonight's show was so hard to just be like, okay, I can stay awake. There was less promos, but the women's match made no sense. Ember Moon, blah, 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 versus the two of us, and she can find a friend. So Nia Jax returns, basically. That I have no aspect of, or not aspect, I have no desire to be like, oh, yeah, so-and-so's return meant the world to Monday Night Raw. What impact, okay, the impact's made, I guess you could say Brock Lesnar at Hell in a Cell. But, again, the title of my show is What the Fuck? The What the Fuck element was Lesnar. Why? When some of us don't want him. And that's not up to us. We're not promoters. We're not bookers. But at the same fucking token, like, how the fuck do you manage to do that shit? It was a chaotic match from the get-go. It had its peaks and valleys. It didn't tell us a story at all, other than the fact that these two can brutalize each other with tables, chairs, nothing, you know, that wasn't nailed to the floor. But what, I mean, in retrospect, what was the point of that match? Is it to say, okay, is this going to build into a pay-per-view? Is this going to be the setup for WrestleMania already? Because we can, I mean, I can already tell you, the poster for WrestleMania 35 is going to be, I don't fucking know. Okay? All I can tell you is my personal feel on it is maybe if Lesnar, Roman, or Reigns wins the championship, we don't know when Lesnar's going to regain the championship or if Strowman's going to capture it at all. It's like Hogan going against Warrior several times and not having a payoff. That's the way I feel about Strowman. If he's a big guy, you need to emphasize that he's a badass and not just some henchman in a group with Ziggler, McIntyre. I mean, come on. I guess that's WWE's way of saying, this is what we see, this is what the fans see, hopefully they can project something with it. Well, yeah, we can project something with it. And the ideology behind whatever you guys are fucking doing on Monday Night Raw to have Roman, Strowman, or Lesnar as champion, technically it could be anybody's championship. It could be Balor's, it could be Elias's, it could be anybody's. But my personal take on it is, you got to do something with Strowman. Because even though fans are not really partaking and liking the fact that you keep on turning, it's so weird, dude. It's like the Big Show's turns. Babyface, what would you classify as a heel and a babyface? That's my question now, because fans are just so wishy-washy. They like the heel, they like the babyface. But I only like him when he's in this match. It's like, no. I think the worst thing that WWE did at Hell in a Cell was not, you know, some people believe that title changes could have been the answer to give the show some flavor. I don't necessarily think so, because here's the thing. I was content that Becky beat Charlotte. That made me happy. So there's a few positive and negatives here and there when it comes to reviewing a pay-per-view, and Hell in a Cell is what I'm on right now, folks, and I know I was going to give you different examples of how you could fix Monday Night Raw, which I'll get to on the Off the Rails Uncensored Monday edition of Wrestle Radio. Hell in a Cell was so bad. Raw main event the show, if you're just thinking to yourself as a fan, okay, cool, it doesn't matter who main events. We'll just give it a go. Oh, we gave it a go, all right. We gave that show a go, and boy, I'm telling you what. Don't know why Hell in a Cell was spray-painting the cage red. It was kind of weird. I just think, you know, from a creative standpoint, I don't care what cage color is. All I care is, can the wrestling entertain the fans and give them a show to go home and talk about and discuss and tweet and do whatever? The answer to that question of, did I think the show was entertaining? No. No, no, no. That's why I titled it, What the Fuck? the what the fuck element was Lesnar. No one expected him to be there. That's more than he has shown up 9 times a year. And do we know if he's going to be champion? I don't know. But I do know that that kind of was a shocker, and I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't really see that coming. But at the same token, the shock value part of the show for Hell in a Cell really kind of sets audiences apart. Some people say, I really liked it. I'm glad to see him back. I want to see him take it from Roman. Really? Do you now? So you only want a champion to show up 9 times for the entire fucking year. You want a champion who is paid in both UFC and WWE. That's like having dual citizenship and you claiming, okay, I'm an American, when you're really truly Canadian or any other country like Japanese or Chinese, and you have dual citizenship, so you can say, you can claim, oh, I'm doing terrible in WWE, so I'm going to be claiming UFC now as my home base. What I'm trying to tell you guys is that fucking, why the shock value wasn't bad, it's just, it was such a fucking cluster. It was a clusterfuck. At the end, no contest, whatever, that sets up and builds for 3 weeks, and if Lesnar takes the title, I give up trying to correlate my feelings to WWE, because here's the thing. If you're a fan, you should appreciate this. If you're a fan, you should think this. If you're a fan, you should do that. You know what? The next fucker that says fans should feel this way, you guys really aren't getting it. Fans should feel what way? What are you trying to do? Shove a pull up our asses and say we should feel good about a pay-per-view? There were some good points and there were some bad points. But then again, that's 50-50 booking for you. Because honestly, honest to fucking God, dude, sitting there and watching that pay-per-view was so strenuous because, number one, I was at work. Two, yeah, the women's matches were decent. I mean, Ronda Rousey did do better. But it's like, wow, are you guys finally listening to all of us that say she needs fucking work? And not just Rousey. The fact that one women's match highlights the whole night. Okay, Randy and Jeff was pretty brutal. Fans wanted blood. They got it. The bloodthirsty fucks that sit there and do probably wrestle in their backyards, they got what they wanted. Fans who sat there and watched the show as if, you know, it were a made-for-TV movie, Hell in a Cell, that is, 2018 in San Antonio, in the AT&T Center, we were all probably sitting there just like, I just want to see a show. It got a show. Roman retained. Seth and Dean didn't come through on the tag team championships. You know, like I said, it wasn't a bad pay-per-view. There's just some things you could have fixed. Like, the main event wasn't the main problem. It's just, oh, let's see here. What did I like, what I didn't like? Again, I don't know, for those of you who actually sat there and watched the pay-per-view, what you guys thought of it. But you're more than welcome to call in at 213-943-3422. Again, that's 213-943-3422. At what point do you say to yourself, wrestling is running out of ideas and it only takes a special critic to notice that you're taking shit from 97, you're tidbitting from when Jay Lethal made fun of Ric Flair, obviously, tonight with Leo Rush. It's just so fucking stupid. I mean, to a T, this kid got Jay Lethal, the imitation, the corporate Jay Lethal, down to a pat. You know, he got it down pat, down T, whatever. I just, to me, dudes, I don't know what to make of Hell in a Cell. You watch on WWE Network, you pay your hard-earned money, $9.99 a month. It's free your first month, and it also can pick up local game cards at GameStop, Dollar General, Best Buy, 7-Eleven, Walmart. Also online on WWE Shop. It's just so hard to say whether or not WWE deserves some credit, whether it doesn't. So here's the thing. There's some matches I liked and some matches some matches I didn't like. So let's start off with the matches that I liked. Charlotte versus Becky, Randy versus Jeff, and Samoa Joe versus AJ Styles. Granted, there's some controversy. There was some controversy, all right. AJ tapped in the middle of the pin, but the referee's, decision is final. And my friend and I were discussing this on the phone about if this was a prelude so that they could save all the shit for Melbourne. No offense, but okay. So what's the point of foreign booking? The UK got the treat of Undisputed losing the tag team championships to Mustache Mountain, and then Undisputed goes back to being the golden children of NXT. By golden children, I mean they took their opportunity, they seized it, they're doing amazing things. But that phrase is also used in the back, meaning they don't get special privileges, dude. They don't. I can guarantee you. Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, they worked their asses off to get where they're at. So maybe, what I'm going to say is the golden children of NXT, they go back to being tag team champions, Bobby Fish, Roderick Strong, and Kyle O'Reilly. So is it going to be a change of title hands, in WWE? Are we going to see each title change hands on foreign soil again? Because if so, that's up to you guys whether you want to keep doing that shit, because the fans of the United States don't know what they want. Yeah, well, it's universal. Not really. I mean, the fans in Australia, the fans in the UK, they all have a different mantra. They all have a different cheering section that they, or guy or gal that they like to cheer for. I don't speak for all of you, but I'm pretty sure that's how it works, is you guys love to see wrestlers you barely get to see on a daily regular basis, even though they have several independent scenes in Australia that they can fall in love with, or the UK, or Japan, or in, whatever. What I'm getting at is they probably had to prelude this pay-per-view so that they had something to feed off of or build upon before Melbourne, Australia. So Samoa Joe will face AJ Styles for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. You know how big Samoa Joe's name is alongside AJ Styles? Do you all know how big their names are? Not just those two, but Shinsuke Nakamura, wrestlers that actually could propel themselves further in fame by just appearing in Australia or Saudi Arabia for the second year in a row. But it was in Jeddah this year during the summertime, I realized because they've had shows on foreign soil in Italy and Germany and the Philippines and Indonesia. They've traveled. The WWE travels worldwide. Just wait till Ring of Honor does you one better and starts doing the same exact shit in smaller venues and selling out. Numbers obviously wise go to WWE, but anyways, I digress. For view, Hell in a Cell. Was it a prelude to the pay-per-view in Melbourne? I say yes, because why else would there only be one title change? And some of you are saying, well, Charlotte better not win the championship back, blah, 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 blah. That's not up to us. I mean, could be Becky. It could be Charlotte holding the title well before Evolution. You don't know how many times the title could change hands. Anyways, moving on to a different subject, the situation here. The Mixed Match Challenge is happening again, folks. Tomorrow night after SmackDown Live, exclusively only on the WWE Network, where you can watch on Facebook, I guess, now as well. They have live feeds and all that shit because people are too non-apt. My thing is this. if you want to really waste your time with watching Hell in a Cell, the only two true matches that were, I think AJ and Joe should have been Hell in a Cell. That would have been interesting, but they want to, I'm guessing they want to protect their investments on Monday Night Raw, or not Monday, SmackDown Live, because I would too. AJ and Joe are very valuable, and that's kind of the reason why I think they were not involved in a Hell in a Cell match. It was a very, very controversial finish, and Graves pointed out at the very end of the replay that AJ was tapping out, and that's kind of just, oh my lord. That is a very captivating match. Had us all had me interested at it. Probably every fan in San Antonio or the world watching on WWE Network interested. But I'm going to, folks, just say this is the first time I've ever dove into the point in the show where you try and get into my skull, but then you regret doing so. Some of you don't regret doing so. But those of you who just entered onto this show, enter at your own risk, because you're about to enter the mind of good old Brian Rails. And let me assure you, it's not like a trip to the theme park where you pay admission. You just get my fucking crazy ramblings for free. Dig it! Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of something now. So on this edition of Off the Rails Uncensored Monday, like I said, I'm not going to hold back. Monday Night Raw was a clusterfuck of a show again. The only highlights were the women's match, The Undertaker's promo, and the no DQ match wasn't bad either. Basic, You know that Ziggler and McIntyre are going to come and interfere, and then Rollins and Ambrose come out, and even the odds, and Reigns puts on a damn good, match. And for those who boo, you can shove it up your ass. Anyways, what could be fixed about Monday Night Raw? Decreasing the hours, we said that a million times, maybe make it a two-hour show. Less promos, and whenever, Elias, I don't really care. Seems like a cool dude. So it would be Elias and Kevin Owens versus Lashley and whomever they partnered in with to face each other in Melbourne. It's like a one super stacked house show, man, and that's just my opinion about Melbourne. But back to what can be fixed on Monday Night Raw and what could have been better at Hell in a Cell. No complaints about Becky Lynch and Charlotte. Rousey and Bliss. You want my honest opinion on the whole shoot about Ronda Rousey earlier? Okay, well, when she does a promo, I feel like she's, a nice little girl next door to, holy fuck, someone get the meat. Get the meat, throw it on the floor so she can use it like a chew toy. Is that a good element of a promo? Hell if I know, because I see so many promos on WWE Raw. That's one element that needs to be fixed. Also, what's with the I have a mystery partner thing? Okay, so we introduced Nia Jax, the way of giving her a partner. Good for fucking you, dudes. I mean, no problem with Ember Moon and Nia, no problem with Alicia and Nikki. Like I said, the women are literally, in my opinion, they're carrying the show, the flagship of wrestling, or used to be flagship. Monday Night Raw is not the same, because The Undertaker had to come again. Foley was there last week. Triple H was there the week before. So the Godfathers of Attitude are keeping this ship afloat. The fact that Alexa Bliss was not involved in the match tonight, okay, cool. The fact that Finn Balor was not included in the match, tonight. Very surprising. But normally there's overkill of him working Baron Corbin. What can be improved? Like I said, shorten the hours, give the talent more time to assess a story, you know, between another, a character build between one another, for example, Finn Balor and Baron Corbin. There's no need to have him go out there as Finn Balor, the man, versus Constable Corbin. Corbin did the same shtick, you know, that he's done in previous weeks ever since he's been the active GM angle or whatever. My thing is this, folks, if you cannot enjoy certain things or aspects of the show, then leave. I tried watching it. It was not very enjoyable. And that's just because the element of surprise on Monday Night Raw doesn't exist anymore. You expected The Undertaker, yes, because he was going to answer Triple H. He said he was delusional, and he said that Kane would be in his corner. Kind of cool that he gets to be in the corner in Melbourne, Australia. I just think, you know, the lackluster side of it. Where's the action? Where's the emotion that's supposed to incite the fans in a good way? Yes, you're going to get mixed reactions now because thank you, Mr. John Cena, for creating the split crowd chant. Thank you for giving the dynamic that doesn't exist anymore between baby faces and heels. You need to create a good guy, bad guy feel. I don't know. But you just you need to build stories that make sense, not stories that are just coming out of your ass and it's just like, okay, when can we shit all over it? I don't want to feel that way anymore about, you know, critiquing Raw because it's so easy. It's so easy to tear something down without having a solution. So if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the fucking problem. My thing is, okay, so I tried to rationalize and think, what's the best way to approach this shit? What is the best way that I can say as a fan, this is where you need areas of help. This is where you need areas of improvement. Areas of help meaning, okay, so what can I do as a fan to tell you this? Quit fucking complicating shit. Just stop. If you don't think that keeping things simple, stupid is the way and route to go in pro wrestling for a 3-hour production of a show, then all I can tell you is Monday Night Raw is going to keep failing, even with Ronda Rousey on the fucking roster, even with the fact that Nia Jax returned to Monday Night Raw. So the Bellas have free range on both shows. That makes a little bit of no sense at all, because isn't Brie a part of SmackDown Live? Yes, it's co-branded, but fucking, okay, so what's weird is you don't ever see Carmella backstage at Raw. You don't ever see R-Truth or you know, all these guys since it's been co-branded. I guess they just co-branded for pay-per-views, but what I'm saying is if you want ways to improve, maybe you guys should make Undisputed Tag Team Championships or Undisputed Championship again, because then it would give the show validity for Monday Night Raw, a show that has fallen prey to just doing promos and what makes you guys feel comfortable, you guys as in the workers. The promos need to be cut down like fucking trees with axes, because some of them, not all of them, make sense to where the placement of these promos are. Let's see what else. If you have the if you have a team that's, you know, breaking through and making, getting attention, whether it's negative or positive, the only true team to get that concept was the Revival. Yeah, fuck the Revival, I get it. But the point is, these guys actually understood the concept of how to keep the fans booing their ass even after the fact. Same with Billy Kay and Peyton Royce on SmackDown Live. They keep it entertaining. Like, to me, if you're going to sit there and criticize something, you better have backing. You better have reasoning. My reasonings are this. I'm sick and tired of hearing the phrases, you know, fans should think like this. Fans should be like this. Fans should appreciate this. They should appreciate that. what in the fuck is wrong with that picture? If you guys are really saying that on Twitter, you know, you guys are just slapping us in the face. Well, how about you watch your shows? How about you take time out of your day to go as a fan and watch this atrocity? Because I can guarantee you right now, the thing that bothers me most through sitting there watching this is, oh, man, 3 hours and only a few interesting points that I could touch base with you on about Monday Night Raw. That's not healthy as a fan. It really isn't. What else? If I felt comfortable about certain people on Monday Night Raw, then I could just tell you who those people are, and it would have been, okay, Nia, Ember, Mickey, Alicia, Alexa, most of the female roster, Seth, Ziggler, McIntyre, Ambrose. And you know what's even funnier, folks, is the fact that, I don't know, SmackDown Live makes me feel the most comfortable for watching WWE and NXT, for that matter. I can actually vouch for that because I started watching NXT, you know, before it became a thing, you know, when Network first started, and it was a game show and kind of like Tough Enough, but it really wasn't taken seriously. The reason why I can say I vouch for NXT is because, not just because Hunter runs it and all that jazz, it's because their shows actually fucking have build, and they actually have shows that make fans want to return watching it. Like, okay, Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, Velveteen Dream, Ricochet, Undisputed, they make it worthwhile. The other people that make it worthwhile to watch wrestling for me, okay, it's called Ring of Honor, and I'm not being biased because of Uncle Bob. I'm being biased because, I don't know, Joey Janela, Hangman Page, you look, Ibushi, Omega, Cody Rhodes, Chris Jericho. Can someone explain to me how you don't take advantage of what's in front of you? Meaning, you have an opportunity to give the fans something simple, something easy. All I can tell you is take advantage. Like Strowman becoming champion, don't really care. It could be Finn Balor, it could be Elias, it could be Seth Rollins again. As long as you give the fans something to, I don't know, to look forward to be able to process instead of look at our phones and say, the fuck is wrong with you guys? Only because Hell in a Cell produced that thought process, and I'm thinking, gee, you know, there has to be somebody in your right mind saying to you, coughing wise, but there just has to be. There has to be someone in your right mind saying, this is professional wrestling. This is what I want to watch. This is what I don't want to watch. This is what I do want to watch. And, you know, it's funny, guys. I sat there watching Hell in a Cell thinking to myself, is this really worth it, watching the rest of it? You know, when I got to Strowman and Reigns. The fact that Lesnar ripped the door off its hinges, can you say, Hell in a Cell 97 moment when Kane did the same thing, except it was 1997 in St. Louis, and he ripped the door off the hinges, and Undertaker had Shawn Michaels down for 100 count, and it's the same fucking concept, just, you know, recycled. So, again, you're saying to yourself, okay, well, why are you so negative? I said, guys, if I'm negative, then that makes you what? Because you guys can be cynical about any other wrestler. Are you the pot or the fucking kettle? I'm trying to answer your question, Anthony. I just, you know, here's my thing, man. You want to know why I'm so negative about certain aspects of the business? Including the fact that I don't know everything about WWE. I keep learning every time that I watch their programming. And you know what I've learned so far, dude? After just seeing what they produced in front of several sellout cards, yeah, somewhat. I've learned that they have good matches, they have bad matches. They have matches that make you go, what the fuck? And you want to throw things and throw tantrums and go on Facebook Live and make a big deal about it like a fucking pansy ass. But the thing is, they haven't really produced a show in which I believe. What, I mean, can you all explain to me why should be believing in when I watch WWE? Because some of their shows good and some of their shows bad. I happened to tune into Monday Night Raw briefly while watching Monday Night Football in the same token. Here's my thing, folks. It makes all the difference in the world if you give the crowd or the audience something simple to follow, not too complex of a match, but it tells a fucking story. That's what I've always, you know, lived by from the moment that I went on the other end of the spectrum to now. It's hard watching it as a regular fan. Yes, I get it. I don't know everything, and I don't want to claim to know everything. But when you watch a pay-per-view like Hell in a Cell, you sit there and think to yourself, gee, I don't have enough fucking breadcrumbs to go home on the drive or for the drive home. And here's why. The main event should not make fans want to cringe and say, well, gee, maybe if it's Raw headlining shit, maybe we should reconsider our train of thought when it comes to professional wrestling. In turn, which is why, folks, I watch Ring of Honor, Wrestling Revolver, CZW on occasion if I really want extreme shitty wrestling, because some of it is. Not all of it. Some of it is. It's just ECW 2.0, my friends. That's pretty much what some of you bloodthirsty fucks are. Now, what I really would like to say about the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view is, why the fuck are you going to give somebody who no experience whatsoever, and I'm referring to Ronda Rousey. Alexa Bliss probably and Ronda are probably good friends, but if I was Alexis, I would say to myself, okay, you know, this is, I'm falling in line, I'm doing what I'm told, and maybe eventually I'll get my championship back. Folks, when you work hard and somebody comes in, they have no clue what they're doing, they're learning, they're trying to learn process and go through the process of professional wrestling, which is a never-ending process, by the way. You never ever stop learning. You're always a servant to the business, never the other way around. Unless the business really wants to become a servant to you, then that's great. What I'm saying, in my opinion, is Ronda Rousey is talked about. So therefore, she's probably a hot topic of every other podcast, and I'm pretty sure. I am for fucking pretty sure that... Actually, let me just say this. I'm fucking sure of myself when I say this and back this up. That even with Rousey on the roster, it really didn't help WWE. It did not at all. How so? Okay. I can change you know, to the, I can attest to the fact that when she entered WWE Raw, the ratings were went from 3.4, 3.5, back down to 2.8, 2.7, all the way to 2.5. And this is based off of Gerwick.net. I'm not fucking kidding you guys. You really think, honestly, that Rousey is going to be a ratings changer? No, because I quit watching Raw. The only reason why I tuned in is because I had a night off. For the first time in forever, I had a Monday off to tune, just to relax, clean, do whatever. And out of a crazy thought hatched in my head, why not watch Monday Night Raw? What a mistake. Why? Because there's, again, the fact that Leo Rush imitated Jay Lethal. No, that's not the only reason. What was the point of Lashley versus Elias? I mean, okay, great segue, I guess, to the clusterfuck main event again, which was a continuation of build from Hell in a Cell. So the Shield versus Ziggler, McIntyre, Strowman. As many triple threat matches and six-man tag matches as there are in WWE, just to fair warn the fans that have taken notice of my negativity or my cynics or cynicisms, I've only just begun. You see, I'm very critical of Monday Night Raw because it used to be the show in which you would be left on the edge of your seats. And I'm not just talking about the attitude here. When it first started, folks, it was amazing. Monday Night Raw versus Monday Night Football. Monday Night Raw versus boxing on Monday night. How can Vince win the ratings wars? First used to be just be about getting himself out there on the cable networks. No, it was more than that. Now you're faced with a show in which is protruding its ass, dragging its butt on the carpet like a cat, you know. And when it finally gets on its hind legs and starts walking again, I will be only too glad to say they don't have to use legends anymore as special attractions, like Mick Foley being special guest referee in Hell in a Cell. I love Mick to death. He's actually one of my favorite dudes because of his entrance theme and because of his crazy-ass attitude in the ring. Then you had Stone Cold Steve Austin in the mix. You have DX at the time. You have just several evolutions of Monday Night Raw. This evolution of Raw, okay. You transferred most of the talent from NXT to your roster, and you're not doing shit with them. As far as, okay, Bayley Sasha should have capitalized on it. There's one example. The fact that you feud them, Bayley goes bananas, she throws Sasha into the steps, and then you just make them go to therapy. It didn't quite work for them as well as it did for Kane and Daniel Bryan. I think I'm just going to do it in a logical sense. Raw doesn't have the underrated roster that SmackDown Live has. Underrated meaning nobody really thinks that SmackDown Live can pull anything off because, oh, it's the B show. Oh, it's on Tuesdays. Oh, when it airs, you know, this is the result. Guys, if Raw was to fix itself, here's how they could repair it. Start competition with Ring of Honor on Monday nights is the answer. I don't know. There's pros and cons to how you can help or be a part of the solution. So I can suggest things, right? Include Legend when it's near, WrestleMania, Survivor Series. It's nearing Survivor Series because as quickly as September's going by, you wouldn't know. I can tell you from experience of watching Monday Night Raw for the very first time in 1995 to now. The one key element that makes a company better is competition. Though most companies will not admit this to you now because we live in a day and age in which Amazon and eBay are at each other's throats. You've got one choice, maybe many. What if Ring of Honor was to compete against WWE Raw on Monday nights? Because you know what? If they did so, my God, you know how much buzz they'd get? I wouldn't say WWE would be done in ratings, but their goose might be cooked. Because they need, all they need is some healthy competition to make their product better. Healthy competition meaning if Ring of Honor is only on for an hour, that's not going to work. But if they compete for 2 hours, 2 hours against three, well, WWE would be like, well, we beat them. We beat them in the last hour. No, because even an hour is long enough to watch professional wrestling. Monday Night Raw, again, length, the promos, the too much adage, you know, when you're trying to make a point that, yes, you beat Roman Reigns' ass, for example, if Braun Strowman was to come out. 15 minutes to a promo, I get it. You got to fill time for TV. But what is the fucking point? The Undertaker's promo felt like he was trying to emphasize that Hunter was the grand, you know, he's the grandeur of illusions, blah, blah, blah. And he was going over what Triple H had said last week. That's fine. You know, I respect The Undertaker. I have nothing bad to say about him. But if you're going to blow smoke out of your ass, not talking or referring to Undertaker, Elias's promos, the crowd eats it up. The women seem very catty and very 90s-esque. And it's like, why? Why even bother? As I yawn and as I watched Monday Night Raw, like the women, okay, Alexa Bliss, God love her. Oh, my Lord. I love Alexa Bliss to death. I like Alicia Fox. I like the Riot Squad, not so much. The fact that those three are still left and taking over where Absolution left off because Paige got hurt. She really couldn't do much except for manage because of her injury. Let's get back to the mainframe issue. Lesnar was the what the fuck element. You guys really should think before you write down on a piece of paper or type it out and print it out for your superstars to see. Because the only thing that creative ever does is make sure that the builds and stuff are correct, right? And make sure that the promos make sense. If the promos have no avenues to them and you can't get down the fucking street and understand said promo, then why even bother writing them? Just tell the star, okay, hit the bullet points. This is what you did. Because if you're telling them what to say and they memorize it, it sounds fucking forced. For example, okay, The Undertaker's promo, it sounded like someone had written it for him. No. Because all he has to do is talk. And people stand at attention to listen to the dead man. If you're going to evolve and make you guys' product a lot better, then this may be a bargaining chip or a plea, but please understand that we as fans do not like being told what to feel, how to feel, when to feel it. You're like, no, you're not our puppet master. I mean, you used to be able to pull strings back in the early 90s because, let's face it, people had the IQ of 12 and some still do. What I'm referring to, folks, as in, some of the people with the IQ of 12 believe every single thing that the fucking show is doing. Every single little thing. And that's fine. It's called being a fan and enjoying it. But if you get wrapped up in the show, you can't tell what's real and what's not. Again, it's hard for me to sit and watch as a full-fledged fan, even though people say, well, you're marking out by doing this, that, the other. Explain to those who use terminologies as well, you're not cool. You're not Vince, you're not Cody Rhodes, you're not Chris Jericho. You're not cool. By trying to pretend to be a booker and using terms, especially the asshole behind me at Barclays Center. They put the heels with the heels and the babies with the babies. Motherfucker, if I ever hear someone using terminology, I'm just going to turn my head and just walk out. Because, and this is another subject that I would like to bring up and just take a break from discussing Monday Night Raw, if you will, on how to make it better, because I can easily do that in, 20 minutes and then repeat myself in a fucking loop. So here's what I'm going to do to break that cycle. If you are a fan and you use terms, I can stand or withstand you using the phrase babyface, heel, heel turn, even though it does irk me, because then you guys think you know, but you don't. Some of you get the gist of it, some of you don't. It's not cool to use, you know, terminology as if you're a fucking booker. And, dude, the dude who sat behind me in Barclays is like, I'm not even from New York, but blah, 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 you're pretty rude. No. What's rude is using terminology in front of, it's how you present it. It's how you present it in front of us former workers. With the heels, with the heels, and the babies, with the babies. If I was a booker, this is what I would do. This is what I. You're not. I'm just merely suggesting to WWE that maybe you guys need competition to enhance your product and its quality, because they're like, well, there's a story to be told. I said, yeah, for 3 hours, you make a switch back and forth between ESPN, Monday Night Football, and interest that interests us, not interest that, you know. This is professional wrestling, I get it. But when you got fans not paying attention, it's because it's a little thing that I like to call phone addiction. Having an addiction to watching whatever it is that's on your phone instead of paying attention to what's in the ring. Now, it's okay to take pictures or whatever, but maybe a suggestion to get your show back on track. As I said, go head-to-head with Ring of Honor. That's where most of your talent came from. Some of your talent wants to go back. I don't know. I don't speak for them. And I can answer that question. Nope. Some people thought that Kevin Owens was going back to Ring of Honor. You marks. See, I can be rude like that. Or I could say, the fans who got solely wrapped up in thinking he was going to leave, my bad, my apologies, not really. Because I like Kevin Owens, and I think that he can actually be really good for WWE Raw. But if you must know, folks, my true displeasure and distaste, or, you know, the areas that I disagree with Monday Night Raw in is where they put people. They place them either on a list in which, on the show, of their placements, like their first match, second match, third match. Your curtain jerk is supposed to set your tone, so why not go with Ambrose and McIntyre? That was a great choice, because it's a prelude, in, I guess, into the pay-per-view in Melbourne, which you can catch live on WWE Network. It's also, folks, Cancer Awareness Month, and I thought it was really cool to see WWE doing what they did for their the children and stuff. So that aspect I like. Again, what can you fix and what can you not fix about WWE Raw? You can't fix the fact that there's a never-ending draw for the Shield. You can't fix or try to fix or begin to fix the fact that Strowman and Reigns will be in the title picture for the rest of the year of 2018. And you can't fix the fact that WWE has an obsession with bringing Brock Lesnar back and taking the title off of him. So what can I fix? What can we fix, you know, from our vantage point as fans? Let's see. Or what can WWE do to improve? First of all, like I said, they need to go head-to-head with another wrestling company. Competition is competition. Or, I mean, there used to be a time when WCW was WWE's main target of putting down, like, you know, a bad animal. But now you look at WWE Raw and you say to yourself, what elements need fixing? What can be better? Again, and I'll repeat this, and I've repeated this in a loop. The time limit, or the time, the duration, 2 hours is long enough. That is what will get Monday Night Raw back on the map, as if you go back to a two-hour time frame. They're like, well, we couldn't fit in this, we couldn't fit in that. I call bullshit. You can fit in a crap ton in 2 hours. You can have a tag team championship match. You could have a women's division match. You could have two women's division matches. You could have a street fight. You could have not just the types of matches, but, okay, also, when I say lessen the promos, something has to ebb and flow. Keep it simple, stupid. Don't overcomplicate builds. Just the characters more relatable. And do not let Rousey be dominant completely. You brought her in to be a badass. I get it. She's getting better. And she's like, well, she pushed me to the outer limits. It's basically a slap to all of wrestling fans' faces. Well, some of us, that is, that don't really like Rousey. The fact that the open challenge didn't have a referee didn't make any fucking sense tonight. So they just had a brawl between the Riot Squad, the Bella Twins. You know, the Riot Squad brings out Natalia up the curtain, whatever. I don't give a fuck. Should have had a referee, because that would have been fun to see Ruby Riott as champion. She's the only one from the Riott Squad that I can literally stand as believable characters. Now, Sarah Logan does lay in her shit. She's very physical. She's a very good worker. Liv Morgan has gotten better from what she was. But my thing is this, folks. Like, if there was to be, like, an open match, you're like, well, they didn't mean, maybe they just meant to emphasize the match for Melbourne. Really getting sick of that, even though, and they're like, well, why would you get sick of something that would make sense? It's because I like having off-the-wall shit. Stuff that may not make sense to normal Joe Blow off the street, but it would make sense to the normal wrestling fan. Why, when Ruby Riott said, I would get, you know, I'm going to take your open challenge, did they not have a referee out there and make a match? And it's weird, the Bella Twins, I thought Brie was exclusive to SmackDown Live. I guess not. Also, folks, what happened to Strowman's briefcase? Is it the same thing that happened to Baron Corbin? Because if so, that's some fucking funny shit. But knowing our luck as fans, in our lifetime, we will not get to see another giant as champion because they realize they need to give the fans some variety. Well, they've given us nothing. Monday Night Raw needs to go back to its roots, meaning it needs to go back to being brutal. Not hardcore, maybe at occasional, but it needs to go back to its roots of being the show that was the flagship of Monday Night Wrestling. And again, like I said, I'm not pleading, I'm telling. Because apparently you guys do listen in on podcasts. The ones that criticize enough to critique and point out what needs to be fixed, and what, you know, as a suggestion, this is what needs to be worked on. I'm going to take a breather and start the advertisements. This is Cancer Awareness Month, folks. If you'd like to donate to SusanGComan.org, here at Connor's Cure, findthecure.com. All WWE merchandise that is sold, you can donate some extra money to the cause to help fund some research about pediatric cancer. Fighting the good fight against cancer does not stop there. You can visit your local hospitals, donate your time, donate blood if you want to. Donate your time to these children who are, you know, they battle every single day, and they don't really have any qualms about telling you what they're going through, and they find positives throughout all their negatives in their life. If you'd like to go to MonsterFactory.org and make your dreams of becoming a professional wrestler, country manager, referee, whatever it is, go to MonsterFactory.org. Contact Danny Cage or his affiliates on the website through Monster TV or Monster Factory TV at gmail.com. They are now partnered with the Ring of Honor Dojo. They have super camps on occasion when Danny feels the need, not feels the need, but presents these camps with opportunities. For example, there was the one on this month with Punishment Martinez and Gerald Briscoe and so many others from Ring of Honor and WWE and CZW. So if you like, you know, go to monsterfactory.org, contact Danny Cage or whomever answers your question through email, monsterfactorytv@gmail.com. Those of you wanting to get the network, you can do so by going to WWE Network. Put in your valid email and password. It is your first your first month is completely free. You can go to your local GameStops, Dollar Generals, Best Buy, 7-Elevens, and Walmarts to get. You want to go get the network also? Go to Monster Factory Network. Go to visit the website at monsterfactorynetwork.com. For local TV shows, birthday parties, contact Danny Cage. The phone number is on the website. Do not contact Danny during the day. He is an insomniac, but that does not mean contact him when he sleeps, or he will tell you to go fuck yourself, or he will tell you not now is a good time, or he will just let it go to voicemail. Okay? There you go. Alrighty, folks. To those of you who know what I'm about to advertise, you can go to New Breeds Wrestling Show, September the 29th, and see superstars like Kurt Gannon, Wrestler of the Year, Curtis Wild, accompanied by Wildfire. They will be partnering with KCXW. You can get your tickets at the door. It is $15 for VIP section or more, $10 for GA. You can get your tickets online as well. It's a really good show. It even features Leland Race. And for those of you inquiring to know, New Breed Wrestling is a very good, very good group. The Pop Icon Championship will be on the line. Gannon versus Leo D versus Johnny Rock. And in the main event, you'll see Hollis Giroux in a tag team match. Okay, Lady Pride. And Jaden Roller. Or Lady Pride and Sarge versus Jaden Roller and Sabre Black. So many more matches to be on the card featured. So if you didn't get your tickets, you need to do so right now through the hottest wrestlers, male and female, of today in the Midwest. There's really nothing I do. But anyways, folks, tune in tomorrow. Well, Granny Hulkster will be on the show tomorrow, or should I say Granny Villain or Mama Villain. And that's all I have for you tonight, folks. Monday Night Raw could be a lot better. He needs to work on some things. And even if they don't listen, yeah, you know what. If you didn't like what good old Brian Rails had to say tonight, or what I had to say tonight, then I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. For all of you listening from the UK, Indonesia, the Philippines, Latvia, India, China, and of course, my home country, the United States, toodles, bitches, I got to sleep. It's 1:50 a.m. in the goddamn morning. Look in my eyes, what do you see? Wait. I botched the ending. Go fucking figure. If you didn't like what I got to say to you, give me good old Brian Rails and three choice words for you. Forget about it. Now I can leave. Toodles, bitches, part two. Dig it! Look in my eyes, what do you see? The
personality, the cult of personality, the cult of personality.